It is good to be here this morning. I pray and trust that you feel the same way. And that's the reason that we come here, isn't it? To get our batteries charged. And I pray that that happened today for each and every one of us, that we get charged by God's Spirit, that His Holy Spirit would minister to us as only He can. This morning I'm going to be reading out of the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter of John, verses 28 through 38. And the title this morning is Witness to the Truth. I'm going to put Jeff through his paces this morning. I didn't make a PowerPoint. He assured me that he can keep up, and I think he probably can. So he's going to put the scripture up on the screen. We're in John 18, verses 28 through 38, and the title again is Witness to the Truth. And verse 28 reads like this. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas. It's got a break right there from one sentence, one line to the next, and it threw me off. They led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was in early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat of the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And they answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die." Then Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You said rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." Let's pray together today. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us, for this place that you've given us, Lord, for each individual that's come this way this morning. Lord, we are many parts of your body in this place, and we thank you so much for that. As Gary said earlier, Lord, as he prayed earlier, we pray for those parts that are missing this morning for whatever reason, Lord. Many of them are missing because they're ill. Many are unable to come out in this weather. And Lord, we pray a blessing upon them also, that you would be with them this morning. And Lord, that they would know and feel your love. And Lord, that they would feel the love that we have for them. Lord, help us. And it is our heart's desire that we would love one another the way you love us. Lord, it's in that that you would be lifted up and seen always in this place and always in us. And that too, Lord, is our heart's desire this morning, that you would be seen in this place. I pray, Lord, that your Spirit has already begun to minister to our hearts through the songs. And Lord, that he would continue to minister as I endeavor to deliver this message that you've given me. And Lord, that you would just have your way with each one of us here today. Lord, that you would change within us the things that need to be changed. Help us to lay down the things we need to let go of. We pray that for each individual here, Lord. Whether we've been walking with you for 30 years or whether we just met you this week or whether we haven't even come to that full knowledge of the saving grace, Lord, we pray that it would take place today. Lord, your word tells us that today is the day of salvation. It is our heart's prayer this morning that you would have your way with us today. And that you would find within us the vessels you've called us to be. Have your way here, Lord Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Can you believe it'll be 7 years this July that we've been together and we've never had a St. Patrick's Day sermon together before? St. Patrick's Day has never fallen on a Sunday since I've been here. Well, you know how I like to share holiday history, right? Not going to have to listen to me. We got a video for you, so you don't have to listen to me. We're not going to be hosting any pints, but we are going to be having some of that corned beef and cabbage. And that smell is filling our house as we speak. Does your neighbor have their green on this morning? Ever wonder where the tradition of pinching those who didn't got its start? Several different thoughts on it, which means nobody really knows. But the act of pinching on St. Patrick's Day, this is one thought, began in America with the Irish settlers who tried to get their kids to behave by telling them that leprechauns would come and pinch them if they didn't. If you wore green, you were invisible to leprechauns, who are notorious for going around pinching every human they see. So if your neighbor wasn't wearing green, you pinched them to warn them about the leprechauns. Pinching would bring about a bruise, so you would have green on you. I like that one. You get pinched simply because you weren't going along with the tradition. Before you start thinking Pastor Bob's lost it, or maybe 7 years is long enough, it's time to put together a pulpit committee, let me explain. There's a method to my madness. I said all that goofy stuff, so hopefully we see the importance of knowing why. Why we do, why we say, and or even celebrate the things we do. It's important to know why, isn't it? In other words, in order to be a witness to the truth, we first have to know the truth. How are you going to witness to something that you don't know? Jesus proclaimed truth's importance when he said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. Paul plainly said, God expects us to dig for it and work at finding it. He said, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 2 Timothy 2:15. I don't do this very often, but I actually prefer the way the original King James states it. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We really need to get this. Every one of us, all of us, are individually responsible for knowing God's truth. It's the most important thing that we can learn. It's the biggest opportunity this life offers us, to know his truth. You've heard it before, I've said it before. God doesn't have grandchildren. God only has children. None of us are going to spend eternity with him because mom loved the Lord. None of us. None of us are going to go to heaven because dad had a great relationship with the Father. The only way is for us to have that relationship. We have to know that truth ourselves. In church, we need to get this also. We, God's children, are all individually and collectively responsible for sharing and being witnesses to the truth. We are the one who the good news has been shed upon. We have to share that news. Picture yourself traveling down the highway, and there's a car with a low tire or a door ajar, and you see little kids playing in the back seat. They're not even buckled in. I see that all the time, don't you? Something's wrong with that car, and you know it. You're going down the interstate. 75, something like that. 80. And you know something's wrong with that car. You have a knowledge that those people need to hear. It's no different with our witness for Christ. We're going down an interstate. We're all heading in a direction. As Denny shared with me earlier, there's a young man yesterday that made that destination. He needed to know. He needed to know that there was a Savior who loved him so much, he gave himself in his place, that he might go free, that the truth of the gospel might set him free for all eternity. I guess I'd ask us to hold on to that thought for just a little bit. We will get back to it before we're done. The scripture we read is some of the last events to take place before Jesus' scourging and his crucifixion. As we make our way toward the season of Easter, the defining hope and the defining truth of our faith, I think it's only natural that we begin to cover the events leading up to the truth that sets our faith apart from every other belief on the planet. We serve a risen Savior. He's there today making intercession for us. He's working in our lives every day. All we have to do is simply turn to him, and he's right there. There's so much going on in these verses of scripture that I read. I usually try not to read that many, but I just couldn't seem to cut any out this week. So much going on. Prophecies are being fulfilled. Questions are being asked. Some are being answered. Some not. Accusations are being made. Some are false. Some are true. No doubt there are hundreds, if not thousands, of messages in these 11 verses of scripture. But the message and the thing I want to focus on this morning has to do simply with the truth. Just the truth. Within these 11 verses of scripture, there are many wonderful, wonderful illustrations of the truth. The absolute truth. The truth that never changes. You know, I've always considered myself a big proponent of the truth. Maybe it's because I'm not very bright and the truth was just simpler to keep up with. Lies can become very complicated, can't they? And I don't know, maybe most of the people I've met that were liars, and I've met quite a few in my life, I've always had the hardest time with them since becoming a Christian. That's the hardest person that I have to deal with is one that lies all the time. And I've worked with a bunch of them that, they just lie for no reason. You know, usually if somebody's got a reason to lie, you expect it, but these people just lie for no reason. They lie about everything. I've never seen many of them that were very bright either, because it was pretty easy to catch them in their lies. But that's the way lies work. They are complicated, and they get more complicated as you begin to tell them, don't they? They just continue to grow and to grow and to grow. And that's what I always appreciate about the truth. That's what it was. The truth. And as I said, I was always a big proponent of it. Even when I was lost in the world, I took pride in the fact that I considered myself to be a truthful person. Is there anything wrong with that statement? Maybe I ought to put a warning label on it, because anytime we hear the words truth and pride in the same sentence, we need to be careful. Because most of the time, that's what creates lies, is pride. Don't misunderstand me, please. I believed in being honest. And I could be brutally honest sometimes. I think I've shared with you before. For instance, if I thought your elevator didn't go all the way to the top, I'd tell you about it. If I thought your mom dressed you funny, I'd let you know. I'd be honest with you. But when push came to shove in my life, back then, I'd twist. I'd manipulate the truth. I'd lie if I had to protect myself. I think maybe that's human nature, isn't it? We like to protect ourselves. I've learned a lot about myself. I've learned a lot about the truth since I've met Christ. I've learned that I'm susceptible to, and I must be on guard against, hypocrisy. When I was lost in the world, that was the biggest thing that kept me from becoming a Christian. Knowing who I was and what I was, and knowing that I couldn't be good enough to be a Christian. And I didn't want to be a hypocrite, Because as I said, I liked being honest and I liked pointing out hypocrites. It made me feel better if I could point out the people in the church's sins. If I could find things wrong with them, I could say, they're not any better than I am. I'm probably more honest than what they are. At least I'm not afraid to call a spade a spade. That was the biggest thing I was afraid of. I remember Deb telling me, she came to the Lord first, and she was trying to encourage me and love me and get me to come to church with her. And I can remember, I think I've shared this with you before, I can remember exactly where I was, what car we were in, when I told her, Deb, I can't be a Christian. I can't. I can't quit being me. I can't quit talking this way. I can't quit being this way. I had no idea that I was speaking the truth, that I couldn't. I had no idea that he could make me into that person. It was the most amazing thing to experience. It really, truly was. He just wiped it off. I couldn't do it, but he could, because he was exactly who he said he was. He was the truth. And I've learned a lot about the truth. I've learned that the truth is just that. It is the truth. Jesus is the Son of God. He is exactly who he said he was. And he can set you free. He truly can. The truth cannot be twisted, manipulated to suit anyone's needs. It is, should be, and one day will be applied to everyone. We need to understand that, don't we? One day, the truth will be applied to everyone. There's not a person on the planet that deserves to spend eternity in heaven before a holy, righteous God. There's not one of us that can stand before him them in and of ourselves. Not one of us. One day, that truth will be applied to every one of us. The only way we'll be able to stand before him is if that blood we sang about this morning. We don't sing much about the blood. I enjoyed that. We don't talk much about that anymore. That is the only difference in us. That blood has been applied to us. That blood is protecting us. That blood, you can say it washed away. You can say it covered. You can call it whatever you want. But it makes us righteous before a holy, righteous God. His blood covers our sins. One day, every one of us are going to stand before him, and the truth is going to be applied to us. And unless that blood has covered us, unless we've come into that relationship with Jesus Christ, unless that's happened, then the truth is, we're going to hear him say, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." We can't afford that. No one can afford that. Eternity will pass, and eternity will never pass, but it will pass, and that debt will not be paid. None of us can afford that. One day that truth will be applied to all of us. I've also learned, and I continue to come to a better understanding, that my enemy is the master of subtlety. And that he will only attempt to introduce hypocrisy and untruth into my life in very small doses, a little bit at a time. I know they make a lot of movies about it, and I don't know but what it might have happened somewhere in history, or might be happening somewhere today, but the devil's never kicked down a door in my life. When I was in the world, or since I've known Christ as my Savior, he's never kicked down a door. But he's never not been there either. He's always there. Always trying to introduce. Always working. Just as subtle as what he can be. So we have to be on guard against that, don't we? That same blood that washes away our sin empowers us. Remember, there's power. Power. I thought about Dale Porter. Power, power, power in the blood. That little old man loved to get up there and sing that. And he'd just shake his fist. There's power in the blood. There is power in the blood. It's the only way we can be forgiven. It's the only way we can overcome sin's hold on us. Is the power in the blood through Jesus Christ. But we need to be aware and we need to understand that our enemy is the master of subtlety. And he never goes away. He never goes away. Let's look at verses 28 through 32 again. These guys start out not wanting to even go in verse 28. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, which was the governor's headquarters, it says. And it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. They didn't want to get any of that blood on them, did they? They didn't see the power in it, did they? Then in verses 29 and 30, they twist a little white light up. Pilate went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If he were not an evildoer or a criminal, we would not have delivered him to you." Then in verse 31, they were pretty quick to get up on their righteous high horse. And pass, that horse's name is Hypocrite. Pass the buck, weren't they? Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." Funny how they knew the truth, but they couldn't see it, wasn't it? Jesus had to die that we might go free. That's the truth. Finally, in verse 32, and this is a good lesson for all of us, and it's free of charge, that the saying of Christ or Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Even if or when things seem out of control, and sooner or later they're going to, sooner or later they will. Don't give up. Don't give up. God's still in control. God is still there. That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. This was God's plan from the beginning of time. It was always his plan. As we read through verses 33 and 38, do me a favor. Be thinking about how you might see Pontius Pilate. Be thinking about what kind of a guy he is. As we read through these verses, be thinking about Pilate. Then Pilate entered the Praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" And Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, and he said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." By the world's standards, wouldn't he be considered an honest man? By the world's standards, wouldn't we consider Pilate an honest man? Probably a little like my old version and most of the world's version of honesty today, isn't it? He was trying, wasn't he? He was trying to get the facts. He was trying to get to the truth. He was trying not to make a mistake. He was trying not to get involved with it. He was trying to push it back where he thought it belonged, because he really didn't think it was any of his business. Plus, his wife had had a dream last night, and she told him about this and how he ought to stay away from it. But you know, no doubt Pilate had seen a lot of stuff in his lifetime. I talked about Sammy this morning. I don't believe he's here. He tells me a lot about the stuff that he sees riding that ambulance. And you can imagine what you would see on an ambulance like that. What you would see if you were a police officer. Can you imagine the stuff that Pilate might have witnessed? He had probably witnessed mankind at his worst. Some of the worst things that were possible came before him every day. And just like most of us, he had seen different versions of the truth. Now, we know there's one truth. But society or the world doesn't know it that way, do they? I used to work at my job. I swear, if two people said it, it was the truth. It really was. All you had to do is get two people to agree, and that was the truth. That was the thing they started promoting. That is the world's perception of what truth is. Mostly perception and opinion. There's a lot of falsehoods that are out there right now, aren't there? All throughout society. We witness them every day, and we can look at them and we can tell, that's not true. That's not a right. God didn't do that. Yet they claim all these things all the time. Because from their perception and their opinion, it's the truth. Don't you imagine Pilate was a little bit that way? From a human perception, wouldn't we say that he's probably an honest man? I mean, he's trying. He's trying to let this guy off. His wife told him something bad's going to happen. I had a dream about him last night. Let him go. And he's trying. He'd seen a lot of stuff, a lot of different versions of the truth, a lot of perception and opinion. And isn't it ironic that when he finally came face to face with absolute truth, with the truth, from the only one that can contain it, God himself, he spoke it with his own lips, yet he couldn't see. And he couldn't believe in it himself. Look at verse 38 again. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" You know, they're working in that factory. I thought that sometimes. These guys are so misled. They don't have any clue what they're doing. And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them the truth. He spoke the truth, didn't he? He said, "I find no fault in him at all." The truth was right there before his eyes. On his own lips, from his own mouth, he spoke the truth. Yet he could not see it. And he couldn't believe in it. What do you think is worst? Being blind or refusing to see? Maybe a better way to phrase it is, what's worse, coulda or shoulda? Coulda or shoulda? Let's look at and compare some of the verses we've read here, 38 and 39. We'll read one more. And then we'll look in John's Gospel, the 19th chapter, and we'll read verses 15 and 16. Let's compare those four verses. And here, 18, 38, and 39, Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" He was trying, wasn't he? He didn't want no part in this. We got to give him credit for that. He couldn't see. He was blind, but he was trying. And now let's look at John 19, 15 and 16. But they, the crowd, cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" Chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." A lot of truth in all this, isn't there? They really didn't have a king but Caesar. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. So was Pilate blind, or did he refuse to see? Yes. I know, again, Pastor Bob, you've made it clear as mud, right? Stay with me. First, let's look at verse 36 again. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." The gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be seen or understood with human wisdom or worldly understanding. It can't. It makes no sense for God to give his son to die for me. I can't understand that. Makes no sense at all. It cannot be understood because it's not of this world. It's not the way that human understanding works. Remember, there's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is death. It makes no sense for God to give his son. Remember my quote from the Apostle Paul last week in closing? He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified," there in 1 Corinthians. He goes on to explain very clearly in 1 Corinthians how we come to that understanding of the truth. He said, the very next verse, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, 'Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God.'" That's 1 Corinthians 2, verses 2 through 10. The writer of Hebrews adds another ingredient which allows us to see and come to a saving knowledge of the truth. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6. The writer says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he had taken him, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Good opportunity for this week's plug on Wednesday evening Bible study. In Genesis, if you've been coming, you would have witnessed Keith's teaching on Cain, Abel, and Enoch. I hope to see you there this Wednesday. Please come. You're missing out. The writer of Hebrews goes on to say, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God, to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Without faith, without the Holy Spirit's prompting, it is impossible for us to come to Christ. It's impossible for us to understand it. I needed help. I couldn't understand it. I spoke the truth when I told Deb, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't be a Christian. That's the truth. I couldn't. But when the Holy Spirit came alongside of me and lifted me up, and I put forth that little mustard seed of faith, for the first time in my life, I saw the truth. I saw the truth. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He saved me from myself, from my own understanding, for leaning upon the wisdom and the understanding of the world. He saved me from all of that. God's Holy Spirit has to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts and minds to understand the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we in turn have to put forth the faith to accept it. Pontius Pilate had the truth right in front of him. Right there in front of him. He even spoke the truth. But he didn't have the eyes, the mind, or the heart, or the faith to see and or accept the truth. Let's look through at verses 33 through 35 again, and then I'll close. Then Pilate entered the praetorium, the governor's quarters, again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Why would Jesus ask Pilate? Why? Why would Jesus ask Pilate, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" You know, I've read that 100 times, maybe more. And this week when I read it, it was like, why'd you do that? Why did you ask him that? Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Why would he ask him that? What would be his reason for asking Pilate, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did someone tell you about me?" Could he have been asking it for Pilate's benefit? Could he have been giving Pilate a chance to see the truth? One thing I know for certain, when Pilate stood before a holy, righteous God, or when Pilate stands, whatever your look may be, or however you may see it, he's not going to have any excuse, because we have it written down that he was given a chance. Jesus asked him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Remember that thought I ask us to hold on to? We are all individually responsible for knowing God's truth. I cannot save you. Believe me, I've tried. I've tried. We've all tried, haven't we? I can't even walk your walk. To tell you the truth, my hands are full trying to walk my own. It's all I can do to follow Christ. We're all individually responsible for knowing this truth. Before I go on, let me also say that's all that's required. That's all that's required of you, of all of us, is to know this truth. When we stand before that holy, righteous God, that's all that's going to be required. It's for us to have taken this truth and applied it to ourselves. To have asked him for forgiveness and to follow him as our Lord. That's all that's required. When we stand before him one day, and we all, every one of us, will stand before him one day, there won't be any excuse for not knowing. No excuse. You won't be able to say, Pastor Bob didn't make it clear enough. You won't. We are individually responsible. And God has given us, just because I know He's God, He has given us all opportunity. Church, we are all individually and collectively responsible for sharing and being a witness to the truth. We have been given a news that goes beyond any headline that's ever been printed. In just a few weeks, we're going to celebrate it, I pray. I pray we celebrate it every day, but just a few weeks, we're going to focus right on it. And we're going to celebrate it. And I also pray there's going to be a whole lot more of us here that day. Because it usually works that way, doesn't it? There's usually a couple of Sundays a year you can kind of guarantee that your attendance is going to at least double, close to it. So there's going to be a lot of people here that day that aren't usually here for that event. Now, I'm not going to walk around the chairs hitting them with this. If it would work, I would. And I would tell you that part of my human nature would enjoy it. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not. But I would hope that I'm going to focus. I would hope that my prayers would be that I would be a vessel that would carry this truth. Not in word, necessarily, but in actions. A vessel that would carry Christ, that would lift Him up and allow Him to be seen. Because that's all that's required for them to see the truth. That's what happened to each one of us that know Him as our Savior. His Spirit opened our eyes and our hearts and our minds. Maybe He used somebody else to do it. Maybe He did it by Himself. But regardless, He did it. And we saw the truth. When you see the truth, you cannot deny it. Because it's the truth. But sometimes we can't see it, huh? I don't know how many times when I was a kid and going to church chasing after girls, I got pulled up to an altar. You don't go to them Assembly of God Pentecostal churches. They don't let you sit back there in the back row. They come and get you. I didn't want to make a scene, so I went up. I think I could have got him down to the floor. He wasn't a very big man. And I was 15 years old and about 180 pounds, and none of it was fat. But I went up there with him because he wanted me to and because I didn't want to make a scene. And we prayed a prayer, and I could feel the Spirit. I could feel the Spirit, but I didn't see the truth. I didn't accept the truth. We've all probably had experiences like that. Maybe not a little pastor dragging you up to the front, but we've all had experiences like that. Going to be a lot of people here in the next few weeks. There's a lot of people out there, outside of those doors. There might be people here this morning whose God's Spirit has opened their hearts or their minds for the first time. Maybe there's people here this morning that have been coming for 20 years, and that happened. Doesn't make any difference. God is God. It doesn't mean, it don't matter if we've been hanging out with Him for 20 years and never seen Him, or if we just met Him this morning. It doesn't make any difference. God is still God. And if His Spirit has spoke to our heart this morning, then we're going to have a song of invitation. We're going to invite you to come up here and pray together. Pray together. And pray that we will see the truth. Would you all stand, please?